The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's open the Bible this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, we will begin reading at verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who has sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I wake? I will seek it yet again. Thus far we read the Holy Bible this morning. May God bless the reading of the infallible Scriptures to our heart. It is on the basis of Proverbs 23 and all of Scripture that we find the Catechism's instruction concerning the truth of the fifth commandment this morning, and that explanation is found in Lord's Day 39. The fifth commandment reads, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And Lord's Day 39 asks, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we make a transition from the first table of the law with commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4, and those duties that we owe to God, to the second table of the law with commandments 5 through 10, and those duties that we owe to the neighbor for God's sake. And as we make this transition this morning, we are not making a transition to commandments of lesser importance. Love the Lord your God, says Jesus. This is the first and great commandment. But he also exhorts us to love the neighbor, saying, and the second commandment is like unto the first. We have just finished four weighty commands, but the command to honor earthly authorities in the fifth commandment and in those that follow are also weighty commands. It's very very important that we abhor idolatry and have no other gods than Jehovah God, but it's also very important that as boys and girls we listen to our father and mother. It is very important that when we worship God, we do not make graven images or worship Him as we please, but worship Him only as He prescribes in His Word. But it's also very important that we respect our office bearers. It is very important that we never take the name of our God in vain, because God is greatly displeased when we profane His most holy name. But it's also very important that when we go to work, we respect our boss. And it's very important that we keep the Sabbath day holy and diligently frequent the church of God to bring Him our worship. But it's also important we respect the president and the governor of California and the police officer on the road. We would be gravely mistaken this morning, and perhaps sometimes this thinking subtly creeps into our minds, we would be gravely mistaken if we thought that the first four commandments of the first table of the law are of supreme importance. But it's not that serious if we talk back to dad and mom. It's not that serious if we show contempt for office bearers and their decisions, for teachers, for the boss, for the president. As we make a transition to the second table of the law this morning, we are not transitioning to commandments of lesser or secondary importance. The whole of the law of God is important, including this command, the one that has to do with authority. Hearken unto thy father and thy mother. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not regard the fifth commandment to be of secondary importance. He honored all in authority over Him. He honored God His Father in heaven, and He honored earthly authorities, even Joseph and Mary in the home in Nazareth. He showed respect to those who were in authority over Him, and that for God His Father's sake. And God be praised this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only the perfect pattern for our lives, the perfect example of obedience to the fifth commandment, but He is the power that worketh in us, so that out of a grateful heart we can desire to and obey the fifth commandment. Let's consider it this morning under the theme, Hearkening to Father and Mother. Principles, practice, power. Principles. Let's begin by identifying two fundamental principles in connection with the fifth commandment. Number one, all authority is of God. Authority is right. When one has authority, he has the right to be over others so that they are obligated to honor and obey him. All authority belongs to God exactly because he is God. He has all authority. He is above all angels and men, and everyone is obligated to honor and obey Him as God. On earth, no one is inherently over another person. But God is pleased, as the God of all authority, to confer authority upon some, like fathers and mothers, putting them in a position over others, like boys and girls, so that boys and girls are obligated to honor and obey father and mother for God's sake. And when God confers authority upon human beings, He is not relinquishing His own authority, but He is choosing to exercise His sovereign authority, His absolute authority, through His ordained earthly instruments. Authority never comes from below. We don't give authority to father and mother. We don't give authority to the consistory. We don't give authority to our boss. We don't give authority to the president. Authority doesn't come from below. All authority is of God and from God above. He gives authority. The Catechism expresses this principle very clearly in two phrases. What if God require in the fifth commandment that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me? To be in authority is to be over one. And then go to the last phrase of the Catechism, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Who governs us? God governs us, but He's pleased to govern us through earthly authorities that He puts over us. Scripture teaches this principle. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And 1 Peter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The most important principle of the fifth commandment is that all authority is of God. It's very important to remember this principle when we are under authority. Every child, every young person must look up and see father and mother and all of their good instruction and correction, and then above them, see God. And honor father and mother for God's sake. And to dishonor father and mother is to dishonor God. Every member of the church promises at confession of faith that they will submit to church government. And as we live in the church, we must look and see office bearers. And above the office bearer, we must see God Himself. And we honor the office bearer for God's sake. And to dishonor the office bearer is to dishonor God who put them over us. Every day as a young person or adult, we go to work. We see our manager, our boss, our employer. Maybe he has a gentle hand. Maybe he has a froward heart. It doesn't matter. As we see the boss above them, we must see God who made them our boss. And we must honor the boss for God's sake. And to dishonor and show contempt to the manager is to dishonor God Himself. And as we live as citizens of the land, we look up and see the president, we see the justices of the Supreme Court, we see the local governors and mayors and the police officers on the road, and above them all, we must see God and honor them for God's sake. For to dishonor the earthly authority is to dishonor God. Luke 2, verse 51 tells us that Jesus was subject unto Joseph and Mary. That's because Jesus, the 12-year-old boy who lived in Nazareth, who came to Jerusalem for the Passover, above Joseph and Mary, he saw his heavenly Father. And though Joseph and Mary had all their weaknesses, above them he saw God, and he was subject unto them for God's sake. But as important as it is for us under authority to understand the principle that all authority comes from God, it is important for us when we are in positions of authority to know that all authority comes from God. Fathers who abuse their authority and do whatever they want and whatever they say in the home, saying, I'm the head of the home, I get to do what I want. They're wicked fathers. Office bearers who try to be lords over the heritage of God in the church and who take the oversight by constraint or by filthy lucre, they're wicked. Employers who use their authority in the workplace to take advantage of their employees are wicked. Governors who use their authority to enact laws that promote wickedness and cause prosperity outwardly in the state for evildoers, and laws that are harmful for the doer of good, for the church, they're wicked. Let all of us who are in authority see God above, who conferred authority upon us. With Him we have to do. We are all accountable to God and to His Son at His right hand, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords over all the universe. The fundamental principle of the fifth commandment is that all authority is of God. The second important principle for us to take note of this morning is that teaching and learning respect begins in and arises out of the home. God in the fifth commandment will have us prioritize the home. That's evident from the language of the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment does not say honor the prophet, that is, the ecclesiastical authorities. The fifth commandment does not say honor the master, that is, the workplace authorities. The fifth commandment does not say honor the king, honor the president, that is, the authorities in the civil state. But the fifth commandment does say honor thy father and thy mother. God explicitly and deliberately addresses the home in the fifth commandment, exhorting children to honor father and mother. And there are good reasons why the home is addressed when God is giving a commandment concerning authority. First of all, according to God's own will, historically, all earthly authority arises organically out of the home. Go all the way back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. God did not create an instituted church with office bearers and membership. In the beginning, God did not create a workplace with management and a workforce. In the beginning, God did not create a civil state with those in positions of government and all of the citizens of the state, but in the beginning, God created a man and a woman, and they were married, and God gave to them children. He created a home with father and mother. And over time, all earthly authority arose organically out of the home, where was the father and the mother. Gradually a father would become a chieftain, an elder, a master, a governor. But first, he was a father. And so it stands to reason then that when God would instruct us regarding authority, He would, in His commandment, explicitly address the home and father and mother. And secondly, in no other earthly relationship of authority is it so obvious that the one who is in authority is the greater, and the one who is under authority is the lesser. In the church, you might have an elder who's 25 years younger than you are, conducting family visitation in your living room. God put him in a position over, but in some respects, he's the lesser. In the workplace, let's say we go into a bookstore, there might be a petite little 25-year-old woman who manages the bookstore. On aisle two, there's a hulking 55-year-old man stocking the shelves with books. He's under her. Though in some respects, she's the lesser, he's the greater. But he's under her. In the nation state, you might have a king who has a rightful position of authority, but he's a little whippersnapper. Joash became king at age 7. He was a boy. He had a position of authority as a 7-year-old boy, though most of the people around him in the nation were bigger, faster, stronger, smarter, older, greater, obviously greater in many respects, but he was in a position of authority over them. But in the home, the parents are obviously the greater, and the children are obviously the lesser. And God drives that point home in Proverbs 23, verse 22, when he says, "Hearken unto thy father," and then he adds, "that begat thee." And it could be added, "and to thy mother who bore thee." In no other earthly relationship of authority is it true that the ones under authority were begotten of the ones in authority. The consistory does not beget the congregation. The manager, boss, employer does not beget the workforce. The president, Supreme Court, local governor, mayor, police officer does not beget the citizen of the state. But father begat us, and mother brought us forth as helpless little newborns who could not even feed ourselves and cannot discern between our right and left hand. And no matter how old or big or smart we get, that fact never changes. Father begat us. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. And so it is for good reason then that when God addresses the concept of authority and earthly authority figures in the fifth commandment, he explicitly addresses the home. The principle then is that learning and teaching respect for authority begins in and arises out of the home. God will have us prioritize the home. It all starts in the home. And the breakdown and total demise of society is in large part due to deliberately ignoring this fundamental principle. There's disrespect everywhere in the world. Disrespect for others, disrespect for property, disrespect for the creation itself as people hurl bags of trash out the vehicle to the side of the road, or leave bags of trash along the beautiful beaches. That's disrespect. There's disrespect for teachers as students talk down their teachers and swear at their teachers and sometimes even bring shotguns or assault rifles to school. And in our country and other places, they shoot their teacher dead. Appalling disrespect. There's disrespect for the basic ordinances of God in the creation concerning maleness and femaleness by those promoting transgenderism. That's disrespect. There's disrespect of mothers by little children, and who hasn't seen it in parks or grocery stores as a little child says, "Hearken unto me, mother, or I'll throw a tantrum," as if the little child is in authority over the mother. There's disrespect for civil leaders by revolution or by mocking or stomping underfoot the national flag. Much of the appalling behavior around us in society is fundamentally disrespect. And disrespect has its origin in the home, where fathers and mothers didn't take their little boy or their little girl and start teaching them what respect is. And we're not respectable and a good example of respect and teaching them to respect them as father and mother and to respect other people and to respect property and to respect the creation itself and to respect God exalted over all. And now this is the result. But the demise of the church also often has its origin in the home. If we don't teach our children regularly and consistently in the home what respect is and what it means to respect authority, and if we're not respectable and commanding respect from them, well, of course, under the judgment of God, children will grow up and they won't listen to their teachers, and when their teachers tell them to stop talking, they won't. They'll keep talking. And they'll grow up and become schismatics like Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who trouble the church by their disorderly conduct, criticizing and always thumbing their noses at office bearers and their decisions. And they'll grow up and become lazy, careless workers in the workplace who don't even work. All they do is berate their boss. They'll become disorderly in society, casting aspersions upon Caesar and refusing to pay tribute to Caesar, though God commands it. And the worst of all is that the name of God is dishonored. Teaching and learning authority and respect for authority begins in the home, so God addresses father and mother. Children. Calling us as children to obey father and mother. But don't we also see God's gracious blessing of our weak and sinful efforts in the home, and even blessing in spite of what we do, as He uses instruction and uses our examples as parents, as He in His almighty grace shapes and molds the little children so that they do grow up and respect their teachers, respect their parents, respect office bearers, go to work and get commended for their work ethic, for being responsible when so many are irresponsible, for showing honor to their boss, for being respectful, and for being good citizens of the state who respect the governor and the laws of the land. And that makes the home and the school and the church a delightful place to be. God be praised for giving respect for authority. So two fundamental principles here concerning the fifth commandment. All authority is of God, and God will have us prioritize the home. There teaching begins. That leads now to a consideration of the practice of hearkening to father and mother. And we follow now the language of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 39, beginning with the word honor. What doth God require in the fifth commandment that I show all? Honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor is an inner attitude of the heart. It's an esteem for father and mother as those whom God has put over us. Heart attitude. And the Catechism says that we must show that honor, and we show that honor to father and mother by hearkening unto them. Verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee. To hearken unto father or mother means that when they speak to us, when they give instruction to us, their words are weighty. They get our attention. So that we hear their good instruction and correction, and we submit to it, as the Catechism says, with due obedience. Let me illustrate what that looks like in the home. Hearkening. In the home, a boy or a girl will hear lots of sounds. Maybe you're playing a game. There's all kinds of sounds coming out of the game. There's the hum of the vacuum in a distant bedroom. Older brother and sister are talking about homework or work. And rising above all these sounds, let's say your name is David or Solomon, rising above all these sounds, you hear, David, it's your mother. David, come here. Solomon, come here and pick up these toys and all these puzzle pieces. That was the word of the mother, or the word of the father. To hearken means, of all the sounds you hear, the words of father or mother are most weighty of all, and they receive your immediate attention, so that you immediately say, yes, mother. Or here I come, mother. But you do not say, just a minute, I'm still playing this game. I'm almost ready to conquer this game. I'm on level 99. Just a minute. But when you hear David, say, yes, mother. And with due obedience, you immediately respond. That's what it means to hearken to father and mother. And God says this morning in the fifth commandment, boys and girls, hearken unto your father and mother. And that's an exhortation to us as long as we live under the authority of our parents in the home. Even if we're college students, if we work full time, when father or mother says, come, we come. When they say, go, we go. When they say, sit down, we need to talk. We sit down to talk. Hearken unto thy father and thy mother. The catechism says that we must show all honor. How do we show all honor? Because that's an inner heart attitude. We show it by hearkening unto them. Second, love, that I show all love. There are so many ways to love father and mother. Here's an important way from Proverbs 23. Love your father and mother by doing that which makes their heart glad. What makes their heart glad? Lots of things. Let's follow the direction of the inspired Solomon. 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. How do we show our love for father and mother? We live as righteous and wise children because that will make them glad. In the context of a few verses here, how do we live as righteous and wise children to make our parents' hearts glad as the demonstration of our love for them? We buy the truth and sell it not. Because father and mother love above all else God. God's truth. And the truth of gracious salvation in Jesus Christ. They love the truth. And what rejoices the heart of father and mother is that we buy the truth. We take seriously our catechism instruction and do our work to the best of our ability, and we receive with a joyful heart all of the instruction they give to us in the home and in the school. By faith, we receive this instruction. We study, we learn, we buy the truth. And not only know it intellectually in our minds so that we can get the proposition straight, but in the depths of our hearts, we love the truth as the truth of God in Jesus Christ, buy the truth, and then not sell it. Having bought the truth as children, as young people, we will not grow up and sell the truth for a boyfriend. We won't trade the truth for a girlfriend. We won't barter away the truth for a different job, a better job, a higher paying job. We won't exchange the truth for a sinful life of pleasure. The catechism says, love your father and mother. What do you do to love your father and mother? You do what makes their heart glad. What makes their heart glad is when we live as righteous and wise children. How do we show we're righteous and wise children? We buy the truth and sell it not. So don't ever say, Father, I love you. Mother, I love you. And then sell the truth of the gospel because you're a liar. You do not love your father. You do not love your mother. Or God. Show your parents you love them by loving the truth, because they have no greater joy than to see their children walk in the truth. Which is to say, they have no greater joy than to see their children love the Lord God. How do you show your parents you love them? By loving God. Fidelity. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity. Fidelity is loyalty, faithfulness. Verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Mother will become old. And when mother becomes old, mother will become frail. And do not hold mother in contempt because she's old and needy, very needy in her frailty. Because she's sometimes silly in her speech, or unpredictable in her behavior, or not so refined in her mannerisms. She's old. She's really old. Do not despise her for being old. Show fidelity, faithfulness, loyalty to the mother by loving her and caring for her till the day you gently lower her frail body into the earth as a seed planted in hope for the resurrection. That's fidelity. And it's the mirror image of, it's the reflection of her. It's the reflection of her own fidelity. When selflessly she labored and toiled and travailed, and with sweetness and gentleness cuddled you as a crying baby and stayed up many nights without sleeping. Fidelity, it's called. Fidelity. And the catechism says, now, show fidelity to your father and mother. Joseph did. Genesis 47 verse 12 says that Joseph nourished his father. His father was an old, old man. Old Jacob came down to Egypt and Joseph gave him and the brothers corn. And then Genesis 50 verses 1 and 2, and Joseph fell on his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father. And the physicians embalmed Israel. Fidelity. Faithfulness, loyalty, care for father and mother, despising them not when they are old. The catechism continues, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience. Very briefly there, yet, correction. Our parents may have to correct us. A loving parent can scarcely find it in his heart to discipline his child and with a rod because it's grievous to him. He doesn't like to do it. But he can find it in his heart to discipline his child because there's love in his heart and he loves his child, and love will do it. Will carefully discipline and correct. And the commandment of God is, boys and girls, when parents correct us in their loving admonitions and discipline, we submit to that. And submit to that also when we're teenagers. They have a word of admonition to us. Submit to the correction of your father and your mother. Last, the Catechism says, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. Patience. Children, your father is not perfect. Your mother is not perfect. Joseph and Mary were not perfect in the home, in their raising of Jesus. Father and mother are not perfect. There may be inconsistencies or irregularities in their discipline. Maybe your punishment seems harsher than the punishment that was meted out to your sibling for the same infraction. Maybe your parents say to you, No. It's Sunday afternoon. Put that away. You've got some good time here. Here, read the Standard Bearer. Read the Beacon Lights. Read the Perspectives in Covenant Education. Read this Bible story book. Read your Bible. Open up your Bible. Read your Bible. You're not going to go on the computer and browse around. Read something that will move your heart to praise and thanksgiving to your God. And maybe see your mother browsing around on the internet one Sunday afternoon. Father says, this is how you speak, and this is how you speak to other people. Don't talk that way to them, to her. And then you hear your father talking to your mother in the way he told you not to speak. Be patient. Be patient with them in all of their weaknesses and infirmities, and don't despise them. And don't say, why should I hearken unto you? Because I caught you doing what you told me never to do. Be patient. And understand that what your parents lack cannot be compared to what they've done for you, what they've given to you in love. Be patient. God didn't give us angels in the kitchen, in the dining room, in the bedroom, in the living room, in the garage, in the backyard. He didn't give us angels as fathers and mothers. He gave us parents who are weak and sinful. And we children are weak and sinful. And here we are, one home. We're all weak. So that together we will all look up to the one who is not weak and the one we all need, our Father in heaven, His power and grace, and seek Him. So be patient with them in their weaknesses. Love, honor, love, fidelity, submission, patience. The power. Principles, practice, power. The power to obey the command of God. For those like parents or others who are in positions of authority, and those like children who are under authority, the power is in Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that. The power to respect authority is not inherent in us. What is inherent in us is rebellion and disrespect and faithlessness. We all know how easy it is to be faithless parents, to be poor parents, to be full of regret. We all know how easy it is to be disobedient, disrespectful children, to hear word of father or mother and not to hearken. We probably already did it this morning. We didn't listen. That's easy. We all know that of ourselves, we would hear a sermon on the fifth commandment and say, all right, enough of the trite moralisms. Don't tell me how to live. I'll behave toward my parents and superiors as I see fit. And quite frankly, no one's above me. The man of my own life. The woman of my own life. That's how we respond to the fifth commandment of ourselves. There's no power in us. But there was a man who was also God, whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom respect and obedience came naturally, right out of his heart, like pure water out of a pure fountain. And that's because his heart was pure and perfect, our Lord Jesus Christ. No one ever saw Jesus disobey. No one ever saw him being respectful, not even his heavenly Father, who could look down and search out the heart of Jesus, and he did. He searched out Jesus' heart, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." With a perfect heart, he perfectly fulfilled the whole law of God, including the fifth commandment, perfectly hearkening unto all those who were put in positions of authority over him. And even when he sternly rebuked the Pharisees for their abuses, it wasn't in disrespect for them. It was in respect for his Father and his law. He perfectly kept the fifth commandment. And he did that even when his Father set in front of him a cup of wrath for sins, including sins against the fifth commandment that he never committed. And he looked at thy cup and said, "Father, if it is not possible for me to set this cup aside, but if it is thy will that I take this cup and drink it all, including the bitter dregs of it, unto suffering inexpressible and even unto death, I will drink it because I honor thee, my Father." And he drank it to death. His perfect sacrifice is sufficient to cover in the sight of God all our sins, including all of our sins against the fifth commandment. And every one of you here this morning, including me, knows we've broken the fifth commandment repeatedly. His suffering is sufficient to cover in the sight of God all those sins. And his perfect life is imputed to our account as righteousness, so that God, blessed gospel, God reckons us to be in harmony with his law this morning. Amazing. And his Holy Spirit works gratitude in our hearts, empowering us with grateful hearts to hear and obey the fifth commandment, so that when God says, "Children, hearken unto your father and your mother," we are sincerely willing and ready to obey and to confess our sins when we disobey, as sadly we do so often. And it is for Jesus' sake that those who obey the fifth commandment not only have the power to obey, but are sweetly stimulated by the promise of God and find the fulfillment of that promise, that for Jesus' sake it does go well with us. Our days are prolonged, and we will live long in the land, in the land, which is the Canaan of heaven above. When we hear the fifth commandment, our only comfort is, go back to the very beginning, our only comfort is that we belong to Jesus Christ, and now living out of him this morning, we will live in conformity to this command. God, equip us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank thee for what thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ. We are unspeakably rebellious, disobedient, disrespectful, dishonorable, prone to despise and hold in contempt all authority. It's a miracle of grace that we're even praying right now, because by nature we despise thee. What a wonder thou hast wrought within us, giving us a new heart and writing thy commandments upon our heart and filling us with the Holy Spirit so that we want to hear the fifth commandment. We want to obey it. And we will continue to pray, O God, that thou wilt pardon our sins against it and empower us by gratitude to live, even as boys and girls, to live in obedience to thy perfect law. So look upon us in thy mercy as we are gathered here this morning, young and old alike. Make us obedient, O God, these boys and these girls, little ones. We pray they may have heard the word of truth this morning, and that they may go home with a desire to hearken to their father and their mother. Grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.